Now, what is the correct way to pronounce your stage name?
To pronounce my stage name is Fifth Power.
Do people mispronounce this?
No, but I would say they misspell it.
And speaking of spelling, there's no space between fifth and power. Care to share the meaning behind that?
So the number five is a very prominent number in my life growing up. So when I was trying to figure out how to introduce myself to the world as an artist, that's just what came to mind, just that number five, and power just was a way to give the number power. So Fifth Power was what came to be.
Can you shed some more light on the significance of that number for you?
Yes. So I have four siblings, two older sisters, two younger sisters, and I'm the middle child, so it's five of us. So I kind of looked at that as, like, on the basic number line, 1 through 10, five is in the middle. My dad always gave me $5, like, once a week as, like, a little thing to do growing up. Just five just has always been around, really, in that kind of way.
These siblings, same mother and father for all of you?
No. Same mom for three of them, different dad, different mom for one of them.
How many same mother and father as you?
One.
Now, do you accept any abbreviations of this stage name of yours?
Yes. I accept fifth, five, cinco, nickel, a lot of things, just anything really related to the number five works.
Do you have a preference on any of those abbreviations?
I prefer fifth. That's one of my favorites.
And not a trick question here, but may sound similar. Zooming out, do you prefer people call you by your full stage name or this abbreviation?
I prefer the abbreviation.
For those in the audience getting to know you for the very first time, care to share where you were born?
I was born in Louisville, Kentucky.
And care to share where you were raised?
I was raised in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Well, Elkins Park, Pennsylvania, but it's right. It's really no different kind growing up.
Is that outside of Philly, technically speaking, or is that a portion inside Philly?
It's outside of Philly, but just right across the street. Like, we would walk into Philly right across the street. Yeah, it was interesting. It's interesting.
And care to share where you reside these days?
Right now, I reside in Georgia, Powder Springs, Georgia.
And for those that aren't familiar with Powder Springs, but maybe Atlanta, how far of a drive is that?
I'd say 30 minutes to get to the city.
So that's right outside Atlanta.
Right.
Okay, now, can you give a chronological history here of from the time you were born, the different parts you resided throughout the years, till you got to Powder Springs?
I can do that. So I was born in Louisville, Kentucky. My parents never got married. And they decided to split. So we moved to Georgia first, actually. I lived in Georgia for not too long. Ended up going to New Jersey with my father. And that's why I tell people I was raised in Philadelphia, because that was the place that made me. And a lot of the components of who I am came from that. So started in New Jersey, spent half a year there, went to Philly, spent 6 to 7 years there, then spent a year and a half in New York. Then I came back to Georgia because my mom wanted to see me graduate high school. So I finished high school here in Georgia and graduated high school. Went back to New York, moved to New York with my friends after high school just to do this art stuff and make something happen. After that, moved back to Georgia, and I've been here since 2019.
Now, you've mentioned a variety of states, but did you want to share more specifically what portions of those states?
Yeah, I can. So in New Jersey, I lived in Elizabeth. In Pennsylvania, I lived in Elkins Park, Philadelphia, Mount Airy, North Philadelphia, for anyone that knows. in New York, I lived in Staten Island both times. So after Philly and when I graduated, moved back to Staten Island. And now I'm back in Powder Springs, Georgia.
And zooming out, when it comes to your upbringing, what was that like for you?
I had a good upbringing. I would say I had special treatment as being the only boy. I had, I got to have friends over a lot. My parents trusted me with a lot. They were very lenient on me. So it wasn't nothing too crazy. I have very close bonds with my sisters and things like that. So very healthy relationships in my family. And it was always just very immediate family. I have a couple of like cousins and things that I'm close with, but when it comes to being like a big family, kind of family, it's just very immediate on both sides.
We're the culmination of all those moves throughout your life during your upbringing pose an issue for you?
No. And I feel like that because all of those things poured substance, I feel like. Not even substance because, I am who I am, but those things helped me to accept who I am and to how to express who I am as well, because I would say coming up, I was very reserved growing up with women. I spent a lot of my time with my mom and my sisters, so I kind of just kept everything to myself. And after moving to Philadelphia and things like that, that's when I got around other men and other boys and getting friends and brothers helping me learn how to navigate, really.
Now, what was the top point for you during your upbringing? What was your highest point or most positive moment growing up for you?
I will say my most positive moment growing up was meeting my friend Nasir. He's no longer with us. He passed in 2016, but he is the reason why I even started taking music serious, even taking art serious. I've always been into these things growing up, but he just put that pushing force behind it, making sure we recorded music and, spending time drawing rather than just being outside all the time. So he really reinforced what I already had as a person and artist.
Do you remember how you two met for the very first time?
It was like two things. So the first thing was, so being from Georgia, and I kind of was like under a rock here. I just listened to the radio. I didn't really go online growing up, things like that. So moving to Philadelphia, I remember these kids talking about Meek Mill. And they asked me if I liked Meek Mill, and I was like, McDonald's Mill? Because I wasn't sure what that was in the first place. So that was his first interaction with me. He thought that was funny. And after that, we just got in trouble in class for laughing at things that were just not supposed to be laughed at kind of things, and that's how we grew.
Now, what was he really like?
I will say Nasir was very bright. He was very tall as well. Smart guy, very into music, and very talented. That's what I would say.
Do you remember the last correspondence you had with him before he passed?
Yes. So at that time, around that time, we weren't speaking as much. I had moved back to Georgia. School was starting, things like that. Our lives were going two different directions. But we did share that we still care about each other, and that is love. And that was really the last conversation I really had with him.
For clarification, was that a text conversation, a FaceTime conversation, a verbal conversation on the phone, conversation in person?
It was a mix of both, of a FaceTime conversation and some text. I remember that because that same summer he passed, my eldest sister got married, and I was supposed to go hang out with him that summer, but I had to go to her wedding. So I remember talking to him on the phone then as well.
And how close did that communication take place to his death?
Maybe a month.
How were you notified of his passing?
Through his girlfriend at the time. Her name was Isabella. And I remember that day like no other. Like, yeah, I just was sitting at the dining room table and I was just playing the game, working on art, because I used to have a laptop, so I would game on there. And she gave me a call. And yeah, she just explained what happened. And I couldn't believe it at first, but yeah.
And what age was this when that took place?
I was...
Or grade, perhaps.
This was my senior year. Yes, my senior year.
And had he graduated prior to his passing, or he was still in school himself?
He was still in school. We were in the same grade, but he was younger than me, actually.
Now, do you have a favorite memory of him you'd like to share with the audience today?
Wow. I have a lot, so it's hard to really even try to focus on one. I'd say I do have a good one that I always share with my close friends, and I think I should share this. It was a time that, so in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, my dad has a house, and it's a very big house. So we were young, and I remember we were scared to go downstairs. So my room was in the attic, and I remember Nasir used the bathroom. He peed out the window. And it was at the same time that my dad went out to smoke a cigarette. And I think we went down to the kitchen, and my dad, he was just acting like everything was normal. And he was like, yeah, while he was exiting, he was like, yeah, remember? He was like, yeah, and don't pee on my head next time when he was leaving. So we just like stopped and looked at each other and just was so embarrassed that happened.
Now, what's the best advice you received from him, or most important thing you learned being around him?
I think the best advice that I've received from Nasir was to let your friends know that you love them. That it's okay to talk to your homies and let them know you love them.
And you mentioned there was music between you two.
Yes.
Is all of that public? Yes. Is any of that unreleased?
So the first song we ever recorded, I think, is about 8 years now. It is on SoundCloud. It's called Four Piece. It's under my SoundCloud, Fifth Power. And at that time, it was on, I believe, a Biggie beat. And yeah, that was the only song we ever recorded. Yes.
Now, anything else you want to mention about him, or question you weren't asked, people want to know about him as well?
He loved Lucky. That was one of his favorite artists. He was very his music taste was very diverse, and it inspired me. And that's, I would say that's where I got my music taste, because before that it was very shelled, and I wasn't really sure of all of the music that I know now until I met him. So I would say, yeah, I'm a reflection of Nasir, really, yeah.
Now, hypothetically speaking, what do you think he would think of how far you've gone in the industry at this point?
Man, I think about that all the time, and honestly, I think he'd just be breathtaking. Like, he wouldn't believe it. Like, he'd be very proud, yeah, but it would just be crazy.
What do you think would surprise him the most at this point that he wasn't able to physically see?
Just how far I've come as an artist, visual artist, the places that my art has been displayed and things like that. I think that he would have really liked that, and he would have thought that was really crazy.
Now, on the opposite end of the spectrum, what was the bottom point for you during your upbringing? What was your lowest point or most negative moment growing up?
I may have to circle back to Nasir. I will say when I lost my friend, because yeah, that would be the lowest.
Now, mentally, has this been something you sought any professional help over?
No.
Why not? Some people do.
I actually don't have an answer for that. I've always, whenever I talked about it with people that were in my life at that time, or, yeah, and they always recommended seeing a therapist and talking about it, but I don't know. I more so took it and wanted to express myself with it and not really just put all of that into my art. That's what I wanted to do with that. You know, it didn't feel like anything I couldn't handle, in the sense like I was really losing it. It was hard, but putting it back into something positive in the art and the music, I feel like has been the most healthy thing so far.
Be that as it may, do you want any professional help with that?
Yes. Eventually, yes. I feel like there's a, yeah, yes.
Now, how were you able to survive that upbringing? There are some that don't make it.
I will say having friends. Having friends and being able to experience a lot of things outside of just my home and where I was and my family. I got to learn a new perspective of things and different perspective of things. And I'm just a very observant person, and I love knowledge and wisdom. And I think those things just, you know, kind of kept everything together with the glue of the coming up.
Now, there are some people who say things like, don't know if I'll make it to see the age of 18. 21, for example. Did you have any of these thoughts yourself growing up?
Yes, I had these thoughts growing up, in the sense of I got to see a lot of the police brutality firsthand growing up, and being very young at those times, like Trayvon Martin, George Floyd, a lot of those things really left a stain on my brain, I would say. And then on another end, I felt like I wasn't going to see a big age of maybe, I would say 21, because of when I lost Nasir. I would say I was very okay with not being around.
Care to share what age you are at this point?
24.
And your birthday as well, the month and the day perhaps?
December 15th.
What do you make of that outcome now that you are on the other side of that equation?
Man, that's a really great question, because I actually kind of went into that not long ago on Instagram. I feel kind of psyched out now. Sometimes I look in the mirror and I'm just really surprised. Like, dang, I didn't really plan to go this far, but now we're here, and it's kind of cool to see myself change and grow as a human and things like that. So it's cool. So far.
And speaking of IG, for those in the audience getting to know you for the very first time, care to share your screen name on that platform as well?
Yes, my Instagram name is Fifth Power, FifthPower.
Knowing what you know now, on the other side of that coin, hypothetically speaking, what would you have said to your younger self back then?
I'd tell myself to buckle in. You know, I wouldn't give too much, but I'd definitely tell him, just keep doing you, bro. You're good. You're good, man. Just don't give in. That's definitely what I would tell myself.
Anything else you want to mention about your upbringing or question you weren't asked? People want to know about that.
No, that was good.
Now, who or what motivates you at this point?
I will say myself, Nasir, still. I have a car now due to art and being able to provide for myself, so having responsibilities. And also kind of having a foundation for myself as an artist, the people that believe in me and support me, all those things put back into the motivation and what I gotta do.
Now, circumstances could be different for everyone, but there may be someone in the audience who needs some motivational words or encouragement themselves right now. Can you give them any?
Definitely. I will say, just keep going. Regardless of all the outside noise, regardless of what life throws at you, understand that life has a rhythm. It's ups and downs, it's twists and turns. Just buckle in, pray, and you know what I'm saying? Put in that work.
Any other motivational pep talk for those in the audience?
No.
Now, speaking of prayer, do you follow a religion by any chance?
No.
Why not? There are some that do.
My perspective of religion right now, I'm still trying to figure it out for myself. I will say I'm very spiritual. I do believe in God. I practice certain practices that religions do, like praying and fasting, things like that. But when it comes to subscribing to a religion, it's very hard for me to do right now, as I need to do some more research before I just put myself under any umbrella.
Now, this description you just provided, was this how you were raised or a route you chose?
This was a route I chose. As you can see, I do have a cross and a baby Jesus on my neck. I was raised Christian from my parents, well, my mom and my dad, my mom and my dad's mother. So whenever the summers we would spend with my grandmother, we were always in church every Sunday. So, yeah.
Now, when it comes to Christianity, the way you were raised, did it get any more specific under that religion at the time, like a particular branch of Christianity, for example?
Off the top of that, off my head, I couldn't tell you.
Was given some verbiage here about you, which I will quote before we go on any further. Fifth Power is a self-taught, multifaceted contemporary artist from Atlanta, Georgia. A few of his artistic collaborators include Lil Nas X, Baby Keem, Lil Yachty, and Demetrius Harmon. Can you shed some light on all of this, especially from the beginning?
Okay.
Up into this point and everything in between.
Okay. So I've been into art all my life, since birth, since I can remember. I've always been drawing. Drawing on my bunk beds, drawing on walls, drawing on my homework, getting in trouble in school, drawing on desk, all those kind of things. Up until high school is when I decided to take art more serious. That's when I even found out that you could live off art as an artist. Before that, I had no idea, really. I was just into art. And online, I was posting a lot of my artwork and gaining traction and a following for myself. And so with that, a lot of opportunities came. So I'll start with the Yachty part, because that's where kind of everything started. So I moved back to Georgia. This was my 11th grade year of high school. And I believe at the time he had a team of other artists he was working with, and they were called the Sailing Team or something like that. And I was working with one of his artists or his friend, BU. So I was doing a lot of cover art for him. And Yachty saw that. And there was, I did this piece for him. I did two pieces for him. One was for a potential children's book that never happened. And then, the other was him hugging some butt cheeks later on in life. So yeah, with that, it was just a lot. I will say those opportunities came from my supporters and them helping me get my artwork out there and sharing it and things like that. The Lil Nas X opportunity was a surprise. At the time, this was a little more forward in life. I graduated high school. I think this was around 2020 or 2020, when that song Panini was very popular for him at the time. A fellow artist that was following me at the time was an animator and an artist as well, and she just hit me up randomly and was like, hey, I have this big opportunity for you. I can't say too much, but I want you to animate. And at that time, I hardly knew how to animate, so I really pushed myself and I was able to have a part in the Panini Lil Nas X video, and that was a pretty big deal. That was pretty cool. I didn't have a collab with Baby Keem. The closest thing I have to Baby Keem was that he took a picture with a doll that ASAP 12V and I created. It's his character named Jamal that I drew. And he had produced a couple dolls to hand out to some special people, and Baby Keem ended up being one of those, and it was photographed and I posted it, things like that. And to Demetrius Harmon, he is the guy that owns the You Matter brand, also was a big comedian in the past, still a funny guy, but it was interesting how we kind of came back. It was kind of a full circle moment where I remember in the past he followed me for my art a long time ago before he became Demetrius Harmon. He was Meech on Mars and he had followed me, and I had remembered randomly at a time, so I just shot him a DM and was like, bro, you used to follow me, like, what's up, how you doing? And we just hit it off from there, started following each other again, and through time he started to have an appreciation for my art, and we've done a couple collaborations together, like through art and flyers and promotional things for his brand.
Want to rewind on a few things here. When it came to the Panini music video, mm-hmm. What part did you play exactly in that?
So for the Panini music video, it was the animated video for the Chowder Show. I did the intro where the tail is wagging on Panini. I did the background design for the airplane where that Chowder's sitting inside of, and I blueprinted one of the dance sequences for Chowder, I believe, that they just used. They didn't use my final animation, but they used what I had sketched for it, I believe, and those were the only things that were in there.
What did you do with Little Yachty more specifically?
So with Little Yachty, my first interaction with him was for a children's book. I think it was going to be the cover for the book, so it was just a picture of him very young. I just drew him looking like a child. After that, the second project we ever did together was him hugging some cheeks. So it was just things, like, it was just some on the fly kind of things, nothing really planned out or major.
And I apologize for asking you that question, because I thought that's what you were referencing for his artist on the Sailing Team that you had done. I didn't know that was for Little Yachty specifically.
Yeah, those are the things I did for Little Yachty.
Got it. Right. I thought that was still talking about BU.
BU, yeah. BU, I just did a lot of cover art for.
And then you mentioned a time you were in high school and then graduated high school. Care to share the name of that high school that you're referencing?
Campbell High School in Smyrna, Georgia. Class of 2017.
Anything else in regards to your art or question you weren't asked, people want to know about that.
Yes. So if you need any cover art, anything done really art-wise, I'm the guy. Come to me, Fifth Power, on Instagram. I do cover art, paintings, 3D. I've gotten into 3D, digital 3D work now, so I know how to sculpt digitally. That's really, yeah, I gotta say for that.
Now, if there was a Mount Rushmore of contemporary artists, which four people would you pick and why?
I believe, is this on a visual artist aspect?
Wherever you want to take this.
I'll go to music side. So my Mount Rushmore, I'm gonna say MF Doom, Kendrick Lamar, Q-Tip, and
Time out. I probably should have said visual because I wanted to get more of that.
Okay, all right, yeah, cool.
You took it to the recording artist side of things. That's okay.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. So visual artist, George Kondo. Takashi Murakami, great artist. I'd put Basquiat as well. And last, this may sound cocky, but I'd put it myself. I'd put myself.
Now, do you want to share a reason for each of these? Except for Murakami, because you already stated that.
I'd put George Kondo up there because, man, he's always had an impression on my mind that I wasn't even aware of till I found out his name. So, like, growing up seeing Kanye West cover art for My Dark Twisted Fantasy that was done by George Kondo, and, like, I was always gravitated to that cover. And just any of his work, anytime I saw it, but I never went out my way to research the man till in recent years, maybe like when I got in high school. So his work is just, I don't even know how to put it into words, man. It's just, it's everything that I think just right there. Like, it's pretty cool. That's why I would put George Kondo there. I'd put Basquiat there because he was very innovative. In a sense, he had his own language as an artist, and that's what I stand for as an artist, and it's very inspiring. And I'd put myself because I think I'm onto something. So I'm banking on myself to be on that Mount Rushmore right now. I'm not going to say too much on that, but I think I got it. I'm just banking.
Aside from yourself, do you know any of these artists you named personally? By any chance?
No.
And anything you want to say to any of them watching or listening to this interview?
George Kondo, yeah, either man. Either man, I'd love to have a conversation with you, chop things up, because I'm watching your interviews and how you speak. It's almost like you have the words for the things that I think about. So I'd really like to have an intellectual conversation with you in some time. Murakami, keep doing your thing. You're great. I got to talk to you too. Your work is amazing. That's what I got to say to them.